Please rise for their majesties of Royally Obsessed, the podcast for all things royals.
Three cheers for His Majesty the King.
We're so glad you guys are joining us for another episode of Royally Obsessed, where we bring you all the royal news you need to know from the week. I'm your co-host, Roberta.
And I'm Rachel.
And we have a packed episode, even though it's been a little bit quiet in royal land. We still have a lot to talk about. Always,
royal land,
always.
Barbie land. I liked that. Royal land. Barbie's on my brain, clearly.
What's coming up in the royal sphere for us, Rachel?
Well, as you said, we're kind of hitting the doldrums of summer, but we are going to be talking about the royals' travel plans. There's a lot on the horizon coming up over the next 2 years, so they're saying. We also have a big royal wedding anniversary we want to discuss, reminisce on 42 years later. Hint, hint. We're talking about this Dan Wooten scandal. I don't even want to talk about it, but we are going to talk about it. We have a Diana sweater date on a brighter note and so much more.
So excited.
And now it's time for the weekly royal cocktail.
But first, we always leave time for a royal refreshment. And Rachel, you're in charge of that one today. I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what I mixed up?
Tell me.
Like I said, Barbie on the brain.
Perfect.
So I did some research, Roberta, and this is a rose gimlet. It's 1 ounce gin, 1 ounce pink lemonade, half an ounce of elderflower liqueur, and half an ounce of lime juice.
Delicious.
Delicious. I was just Googling pink drinks because I just felt like I know you saw it. I saw it. It's just feeling like in the spirit this week. What do you think?
We saw the Barbie movie, that is. Yes.
Yes.
I saw it Thursday. And when did you see it, Rachel?
I saw it Friday at 9:45 p.m. And it was just such a scene.
Everyone was dressed up, right?
Everyone wore pink. I wore pink. My friend wore pink. I loved it. Did you love it?
I loved it. I want to go see it 10 more times.
Me too.
I thought it was so good. The Kens. I love
Ryan Gosling. Alan.
Yeah. Weird Barbie is
Issa Rae. Some of her lines were my favorite of the whole movie.
I loved Kate McKinnon. I just could not get enough of Weird Barbie.
Also, the Indigo Girls. Like, I just forgot how much I loved the Indigo Girls. Like, it was just good fun. And I'm so happy for Greta Gerwig. I feel like that. I listened to an episode of The Daily about just how it came to be and her relationship with Barbie. And I know there's so many interviews with her, but I'm just so happy for her.
It was so good. And I actually cried at the end. So
me too.
I don't know. It was very touching.
And, I'm sorry. America Ferrera. I was just saying how much I loved like Ugly Betty, all these older shows. I was just so happy to see her in it.
It was so, so good.
Can I detour for 1 second and just mention I wanted to thank you publicly for sending me that delightful article about Tom Cruise? Because we always talk about Tom Cruise on the podcast. And Roberta sent me this wonderful essay about this writer's search for Tom Cruise.
It's so good, you guys. You have to read it. It's in the New York Times and it's like, I think it is called like The Search for Tom Cruise, but it's an investigation to where he lives since he's so secretive. And immediately when I read it, I thought of you and had to send it.
I read it. You know how you read some things like just slowly and decadently? I really nursed that article,
if
that's not a weird thing to say. But I also just love that how I'm going to tie it back to the royals in he's a true Anglophile and might live in the UK, which I just think I love. I don't know. So many perplexing thoughts. It doesn't really answer a lot of the questions that remain. But anyways, I wanted to thank you for that.
Even if you don't really like Tom, I'm not like a Tom Cruise fan, and I thought it was so fascinating, especially just like trying to follow the clues and like these villagers in a little,
I think it's a little
town outside of London where he supposedly lives, but it's like a big palace or
you know who knows so where he lives is William and Kate.
Oh, definitely.
They definitely. Probably
know. He loves William and Kate. He loves the monarchy.
Loves
Tom
the monarchy.
Loves the monarchy.
That's why it all makes sense.
Really obsessed.
Everyone read this and then write us a note.
Do you think he's listening right now?
Because
he loves
the
royals.
Sorry. Tom Cruise is a Roro. That just made me laugh so hard.
Tell me really quick about this Barbie cocktail you could mix up. So you can make the rose gimlet if you want.
Oh, sorry. That's why I said rose gimlet. I did generate a couple options. There's also the Barbie Land drink, which is much simpler. And it's 3 parts rosé, 3 parts tonic water, and a slice of grapefruit. Super pink, super beautiful, and in the spirit of the movie. Mix it up. Bring it to the theater secretly.
And then get pizza after and listen to the Pizza Pod Party podcast. It's a new podcast from our former producer, Alfred. We had to shout it out because it's so delightful. His first guest is Roy Wood Jr. from The Daily Show. So, so fun. If you love pizza or just love comedy podcasts, give it a listen. Yes. We needed to shout it out.
Absolutely. Now we're going to talk about the Royals.
Let's get into the Royals. All of that is royal adjacent.
It's royal adjacent, my friends. Yes.
All right. Our listener email this week is actually a listener Facebook thread from last week about those Harry and Meghan divorce rumors. I know that we were really not sure if we wanted to talk about this and give it airtime, but this was a good way to kind of talk about it, get your listeners' thoughts on it. First, a little bit of background, though, in case you are unaware about how this all got started. So July 18th, RadarOnline.com reports that Harry and Meghan are taking time apart and, quote, trialing separation. A few other outlets pick it up, including Page Six. However, their coverage is more so quoting sources who are denying the claims. The actual quote from a source in Page Six is, "It's not true. It's literally made up." That's in Page Six. Radar also goes on to report that Harry is planning to visit Africa by himself later this year to make a documentary as part of the couple's ongoing Netflix deal, which is still active, as we all know. So someone posted this link to the article in Facebook and you guys responded. Grace said, "I tend to believe they're closest friends over this." And she included a screenshot of Nacho Figuera's comment, BS, which is obviously shooting down the reporting of Radar Online. Allison said, "There are so many people who would love for this to be true. It's really sad how many folks are truly wishing disaster upon this couple and their family. To be honest, I don't know how they withstand it." Jennifer said, "This is only somewhat related, but I feel like a lot of this chatter started when Meghan signed with the talent agency Solo." And Karina said, "No way, WME would get ahead of the story just in case it were true, and it would be on a tier one site with insight into how Meghan is either living her best life a la Sofia Vergara or coping and focusing on the kids." That's such a good point that they would probably try to get ahead of it if it were true. I don't believe it for one second, Rachel.
Me neither. Me neither. I like that branding of a tier one site. I haven't heard that before. But yeah, I think it's so far-fetched. And I think people are just preying on the recent headlines that they're having a bumpy time work-wise. Perhaps. I mean, this is all, you know, we're not hearing straight from the source. But I just, it's all clickbait to me. And I hate that this is something that people are so eager to jump on.
It's all post-car chase fiasco, post-canceled Spotify deal. Things are tough in the Sussex house right now. I think that that's fair to admit. It feels like that objectively is true. But I also just wonder, and this is just a question I'm posing to you hypothetically, Rachel, like, do these headlines become a self-fulfilling prophecy? Like, let's say that it was Rachel and Matt on the rocks and you guys read that. Does your marriage take a hit? I'm curious. I mean, I think I would question everything and have like serious trauma just reading that.
Well, I do think like everything we've witnessed them talking about the tabloids and the impact it has on their lives and like how it starts to become truth. You know, people start to believe it, whether you believe it, how you kind of maintain that force field of strength in the face of it is another thing. And I'm not even suggesting that they're succumbing to it, but I do think that it's just relentless. And I do find, you know, just again, we're in this phase of the number of headlines about them. They're everywhere, but they're nowhere. Remember that? I mean, it's really staggering. Like you go and look at the royal news on certain sites and it's just all Harry and Meghan when we know that they're not out at all publicly.
Well, and that's where I think Spare became so valuable was Harry hitting back directly at certain headlines. And I honestly picture him writing this chapter in the book next of like the attacks on our marriage, how untrue it was, how in love we are behind the scenes. Nobody knows because we're keeping to ourselves for a while. We're laying low. Mm-hmm. So
I was kind of thinking about this, though, Roberta. Like, I think the only way you can take it, like you said in some of these comments said, it's like if it came direct from the source, Harry, Meghan. And I was thinking maybe Tyler Perry because like he would be the only person that I believe is intimate enough to confirm.
Or Misan Harriman. Has he weighed in on this yet? Yes. I don't think it seems like, you know, there was also those friends that chimed in for the People article so long ago for Meghan's behalf. Yeah. And none of them have really spoken up, but it seems like whenever anyone speaks up, they're just attacked by the tabloids. So it's better that
they don't. It's not worth it. It's like you don't want to give it, fan the flames.
Exactly.
And now, this week in royal history.
Okay, this week in royal history, as I teased, we are flashing back to the biggest royal wedding, we can call it that, Princess Diana's marriage to Prince Charles on July 29th, 1881. It has been 42 years.
Wow.
You and I talked about that, and that's just staggering. I think I did some bad math first. I was like, 44, 42? But yeah, it's been a while, and we're going to kick it off.
Biggest wedding in royal history or the biggest wedding in human history?
Human history. I don't think what would compare.
I just don't know. I mean, maybe Grace, Princess Grace. I don't know.
Yeah. I can't think of it.
Yes.
We're going to kick it off with the words of Reverend Robert Runcie.
Here is the stuff of which fairy tales are made. The prince and princess on their wedding day. But fairy tales usually end at this point with the simple phrase, they lived happily ever after.
Chills.
Every time. Know. Chills. I know. It's like it doesn't seem real, those words, that someone said those at their wedding. I think what was interesting in prepping for this royal history segment, Roberta, is like, what don't we know at this point about the wedding of Princess Diana? Mm. We think of her dress, how she flip-flopped Charles's name, how she was nervous. I love that detail that she spilled perfume just before walking down the aisle, staining her dress. They launched the tradition of the balcony kiss, which we now – do we take it for granted? I don't know. I mean, we haven't had that many royal weddings to, you know, on the balcony. But yeah, it's very iconic. And so I think what was – fun for me in this context was going back over old headlines. I really went to the New York Times. I looked other places, but I found those. They used to be in all caps, going back through their archive, you know, just some that really stood out about that day, July 29th, 1981. Prince Charles to wed 19-year-old family friend. That was the headline. This was pre-SEO, right? Like they could kind of editorialize. I mean, that's pretty glaring, right?
It is wild to think of pre-SEO. I don't know why that just like blows my mind.
Headlines used to be so artful.
So, yes, so editorialized. You're so right.
Yes. I mean, just that 19-year-old family friend. Royal wedding is focusing attention on the increasingly common problem of divorce. This was also from 1981, but it was about Diana's parents and how they were handling, navigating the fact that Diana's parents were divorced. And that was a no-no in the context of royal settings. So how they dealt with that with the program and things like that. And just like, you know, when you read it, sort of
it's
the
very
glimmer.
Foreshadowing.
Yes.
Foreboding.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Two more. Lady Diana won't vow to obey Charles. Again, this is 1981. And you think about like the women's movement and all that was going on. And sort of that was a big deal. She omitted that word from the vows. Go Diana. And then I think just one more that is completely unrelated in terms of what we now know, but just interesting, was Royal Fireworks Guild London on wedding eve. They supposedly at Buckingham Palace, Diana missed it. She was back at Clarence House getting ready for the big day. She had to be up at 6:30 a.m., but Charles attended. The queen threw a party. 2.5 tons of fireworks were dispensed in 20 minutes. And I just was thinking of this, Roberta, why this stood out is because of our journey to the coronation concert and the use of drones that Charles really champions now in lieu of fireworks because of the impact on the environment. I thought that was kind of a total pivot, but I think a lot of people are going that direction. Okay, finally, this line in the Washington Post, again from 1981, this is not recent, about Diana's future was something that really stood out to me, especially in the context of the Queen's passing, Camilla on the throne, just saying, Diana is the 9th Princess of Wales. It is a title conferred only on the wife of the heir apparent to the throne, and assuming she lives, that was like an aside, assures Diana of becoming queen if Charles lives to succeed his mother and is crowned King of Great Britain and head of the Commonwealth. It's just, you know, I think reading that back then and then knowing how much that was altered for many, many, many reasons. And it kind of made me think aloud with Charles and Camilla now at the helm, will this always be their legacy? What happened with Diana?
I feel like it will be. I definitely think that that will always be. It's so crazy to think that they said assuming she lives, because a 19-year-old in the prime of her life, you would never assume otherwise. But I think we see every day life is so fragile and fleeting. And
but what a weird detail to put in.
Such a weird
between
detail.
M dashes. Yeah.
Such a weird detail. And for all the good work that Charles and Camilla do, it's almost it's kind of unfortunate that that will always be their legacy, is the affair that, you know, drove this wonderful person out of the royal family.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So anyways, I think just in you know, prepping for this again, I think there were things that I was like, what am I still scratching my head about? The mystery of the second wedding dress. Diana, there's no, you know, we do not know where the dress from David and Elizabeth Emmanuel ended up. They had a backup in case it was leaked. They don't know. They said it's probably in storage somewhere. Wouldn't that be amazing if that was available to view at some point? Also, Roberta, remember this detail when we popped by the Royal Mews with Elizabeth Holmes and Laura Ann in London about why Diana's dress was so wrinkled when she stepped out of the glass coach at St. Paul's Cathedral. Remember, you were listening to the audio, and had we not heard it on the audio, it was because her father was a lot larger in girth,
right? Yeah.
Than they expected. And so it smushed her so much more in that glass coach than they had anticipated.
Yeah. And it was also just, I think the fabric, they just didn't think that that would be an issue, her sitting down so much. I think to Kate's Wimbledon dress and all the wrinkles in that green Roland Murray. And yeah, it just wasn't really a thought, I guess, at the time. But that's something you definitely need to plan
for.
Yeah,
how do you test drive wrinkles in that, like, over and over and, like, put it through?
12 hours.
Yeah.
Squish yourself into a coach with a giant man.
Yes, as a trial. Okay, the last thing I wanted to mention in relation to this is just the press. Again, I was going through the archive. On July 25th, 1981, just a handful of days before she said, I do, there were a lot of public tears. Diana had to leave a polo match that Charles was playing in early. And Charles later described it to the media as that she feels upset that there are headlines circulating that she doesn't like horses and that she's bored by polo when she's not. And it just, she was overcome by the press pressure. But I think just curiosity being hindsight, and I saw a couple of interviews that spoke otherwise, being how much did she know just a few days before her wedding about Charles's true relationship with Camilla? We know that the bracelet had surfaced, things like that. It's just, I'm not saying that she needs a justification for having tears at a polo match or anything, but the way that it was kind of brushed off and what we now know 42 years later, just, you know, we will never know what was truly going on.
Yeah. Ugh. Gosh, I think back to those scenes in The Crown and how, although they didn't do the royal wedding, I think that's a big regret of mine for the show, is they never really played that out.
I know, I know. What do you think the next royal wedding will be, Roberta, by the way?
Oh, gosh.
Is it really
George? Lady Louise?
Oh, Lady Louise.
Oh,
and then
wow.
George, probably, right?
But I feel like she's actually pretty private. We might not even really get to see her wedding. And then George.
We'll be grannies. No, we'll be younger than that, I hope.
I hope.
Who knows? Who knows? He's just turned 10. Honorable mention, Prince Andrew also wed Fergie this same week in 1986 on July 23rd. And what was cool, not in relation to Andrew at all, but we did see that recent reappearance of the York tiara that Beatrice wore to that wedding in Jordan, right, which was really exciting to see.
That was really cool to see that.
Write us a note if you have memories from Diana's wedding. We'd love to hear from you.
Oh, good call out. We'll read those out next week if anyone writes us in. All right. This week's royal rundown, we're going to kick off with a first bulletin about Dan Wooten. So refresher for him. He is the GB News anchor, has his own show. It's the show with the highest ratings on that channel, actually. But the channel is the fourth most watched news channel in the UK. So he broke the story of Harry and Meghan's departure from the firm on January 8th, 2020, when he was executive editor of The Sun. He supposedly learned of them stepping back from the royal family via mutual friend of Christian Jones, the Kensington Palace comms secretary at the time. So a mutual friend of that comms secretary then is how Dan found out. And he said he let the Sussexes camp know 10 days before to comment on it, but they felt they were rushed into that statement that they ended up putting up on their own website. So he also perpetuated the term Megxit. He wrote the Johnny Depp wife beater story, which had a huge trial last year. Was that this year or last year? Time is
like
a flat circle to me.
It was,
I don't know.
Definitely last year, but I feel like, was it even last year or 2 years ago? It's like, yeah, I agree.
It's all blurred together. He's also had some very interesting feuds with celebrities, including Lily Allen. He's kind of known as the Tucker Carlson of the UK. I know you know this, but for some listeners, I'm just going over this.
Yeah, no, it's helpful. I want all the context because I am really trying to understand this investigation and all of it.
Yeah. And like you said at the top, like, it's icky to even talk about. I don't really want to spend time talking about him, but he has been in the news lately and
it's bubbling up a lot in the royal sphere and what we're hearing from Roros too, who are DMing us.
Yes, exactly. And it's all kind of royal tangentially related. So he's in the news because of this Byline Times 3-part series in its investigation by two former News of the World reporters. So there's parts 1, 2, and 3, which I linked here and read through all of them. It's based on 3 years of investigations and 10 years of evidence. The gist is that an ex-boyfriend of Dan's and former colleagues alleged he used the pseudonym Martin Branning, which is a portmanteau of two names from EastEnders characters. Using this name, he offered individuals large sums of money in return for filming themselves carrying out explicit acts. He pretended to be an agent and that he was doing this on behalf of a client. He blackmailed people into this. The most recent part of the investigation involved a man who he met through his colleague at The Sun and ended up 10 years of basically blackmailing this person. Really insane stuff. And this has all been handed over to the Metropolitan Police as well. So Byline Times says that they now hear that I think there's a investigation ongoing with the police. The fallout. So Dan Wooten last week went on his program on GB News and said this.
First, I feel uncomfortable being the story, but I've always promised you that this show has no spin and no bias and no censorship. So I owe it to you to address this. These past few days, I have been the target of a smear campaign by nefarious players with an axe to grind, notably by an ex-partner who I was... This is something I've never spoken about and it's very difficult to talk about publicly, but who I was previously abused by. He has created an untrue story about me and appears to have been working with an organization who are intent on closing down this channel. I, like all fallible human beings, have made errors of judgment in the past, but the criminal allegations being made against me are simply untrue. I would like nothing more. Furious claims. I could actually spend the next 2 hours doing so, but on the advice of my lawyers, I cannot comment further.
Smear campaign. Ugh.
Yeah, it's very kind of Trumpian.
Who else has led those? Yeah.
Right, exactly the way that he's addressed this. Byline Times continues to say that although they've questioned him and his lawyers, Dan's lawyers, many times about whether he is Martin Branning, they have chosen to avoid answering that question. Dan Wooten has set up a GoFundMe for a legal challenge versus Byline Times. He's actually raised £37,000 so far,
which is
pretty staggering. The goal is £150,000. It's a huge legal challenge that he would have to mount. Byline Times also has their own GoFundMe, too. It has a goal of, let's see, I'm opening it right now. I just want to make sure, of £75,000, and they've raised over £50,000. So a lot of people care a lot about this and are involved and throwing their dollars behind who they believe. The Mail on Sunday has actually paused Dan's weekly column. That's the Daily Mail, of course. They've paused it, according to the Byline Times reporting. And
he's still on the air with Great Britain News.
Yep. And they're investigating. And so is The Sun. And actually now the government is involved. Some MPs have actually requested an official investigation into the conduct. And this is all following Hugh Edwards from the BBC. And so I think there really is becoming this kind of introspective over what's going on at some of these huge media companies in the UK. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I think obviously the royal connection is Dan's many, many scoops about the royal family, his deep, deep connections to people surrounding the royals, the people that work for the royals. It's continuously he smears the Sussexes. He has people on his show all the time talking about how horrible they are, what they've done. And it's, yeah, so this is an ongoing investigation, but that's all we know so far. Yeah.
Yeah. Very disturbing. Definitely.
Harry actually in his memoir Spare called Wooten a sad little man when talking about the time that he was showbiz editor and the lead reporter on the story of them leaving the royal family or stepping back, I should say.
Yeah. I think it's just one example where you're getting a fuller picture of the people behind all these attacks on the Sussexes. And it's like this 360 view of this man that's been leading that effort. And whoa, what is going on in his life? It's pretty intense. I find it despicable. Yeah.
It's a lot of people are saying it's like the UK's Epstein, kind of. And yeah, it's much deeper than I think any of us realize. And even the insight into how all this works, like I recommend everyone really go and read the actual 3-part Byline Times piece.
And there's another part coming out, you said?
I thought that I saw there was a 4th part, but I'm not sure if I just misread. So stay tuned if that does drop. Okay. But yeah, they've all been very revealing and about how Dan would steal sources from people and palace sources were on retainer with certain people and that they couldn't talk to anyone else at The Sun because they would have basically a contract with one journalist. It was all just mind-blowing, the blackmail part of it, what was involved,
you know? Like how deep are these
and these victims whose ties, lives, yeah. I mean, this last part 3 about this man who the videos, it just, he left London. He completely left his entire life, his family, everything. It just is, it's, it was horrifying. On the brink of suicide. It's horrifying. It's horrifying. So yeah. Anyway, let's turn to happier thoughts and happier times. I'm ready to talk about some vacations.
Hard left. Royal travel.
Perfect.
Totally
switching gears. I need like a palate cleanser right
now. Yes. So as you and I think a lot of rovers are well aware, the reported last engagement, potentially, hypothetically, for Charles and Camilla played out today. They appeared at the 140th Sandringham Flower Show. The next stop is Balmoral, which is kind of a surprise because no one was totally sure how Charles would, you know, if he would follow in the footsteps of Her Majesty or Late Majesty the Queen. But that seems to be the plan. Members of the family are expected to journey with him to Scotland at different points. And it will also likely be a very reflective time. I know you and I have been talking about how, you know, in the scope of thinking about time, that we are almost at the 1-year anniversary of Queen Elizabeth's passing.
Oh,
my gosh. That is like unfathomable to me.
Me too.
You know, and so anyways, but they will be there through September honoring that anniversary. And then on the heels of that, we're going to see what sounds like a big, pretty big royal travel blitz. They're going to, I think that the idea is that they'll ride this coronation wave. Charles has yet as monarch to set foot in the 14 Commonwealth realms. We also know that this is a very, there's a lot of upheaval going on. Jamaica is still firmly pushing to become a republic, says that they will continue to have a friendship with Charles and the Waleses. They're always welcome. But for many, the Queen's passing is hastening that exit strategy for these Commonwealth countries, especially with the roots in colonialism and all of that. That said, this sort of soft launch, soft kind of travel, like this, you know, these kind of like soft diplomacy efforts, we're going to see the royals popping up outside of the UK quite a bit. First up, William in New York City on September 19th. Are we going? This is for the Earthshot Prize Innovation Summit.
I think we have to figure this out
with press credentials. Like, what are the opportunities there? They'll be announcing the Earthshot Prize winners for 2023. I think this that we should try, Roberta. So let's put this on our calendar.
I'm checking my calendar now. What do I have? September. It's so close to my birthday.
I know. All of our birthdays.
I'm free.
Okay, good. Charles and Camilla are heading to France. This is obviously rescheduled after those big protests. They had to move it from the spring. Kenya and Singapore. Singapore for Earthshot, but also Kenya for Charles and Camilla. That's on the horizon. There's also talk of visits to Australia and New Zealand as part of this. I think that, you know, if let's say the Wales is popped up in those two places with the kids, plus Louis, who has never been on a royal tour, not because of his antics, it seems like, but more because of the coronavirus pandemic. Mm-hmm. Just that, you know, definitely not his antics, Roberta. I see that look. No.
I would love for Louis to do a royal tour.
Yes,
that
can
would
you
be
imagine?
The highlight of the year. Yeah, that would be the best.
My question,
that needs to happen.
Yeah, my question for you, though, is do you think that this kind of international going around, shaking a lot of hands, will that work? Will that really help their brand? Again, this is riding that wave of the coronation glow. Do you think that's enough to really build morale back up in terms of what the monarchy can do?
I mean, it really depends, doesn't it, on whether the tour goes the way of the Caribbean tour or if it goes the way of some of the really successful ones. I think we've seen huge success with them coming to the U.S. That wasn't an officially royal tour that we were at in Boston, but of course, huge success, popularity through the roof. So I think that does depend on the people around them, the people advising them, and their own choices in order to make these trips really shine. But it is so dependent. Like Jamaica, they've always had this mindset that they are going to cut ties. And I think that for some countries, that's just how it's going to be. And that's how it's going to go. But for other countries on the fence, or maybe just really pro-monarchy, this is a huge moment for them on the global spotlight.
Yeah, but I think you're right. Like listening and learning as they visit the countries and taking their cue. I think William's speech on the heels of that Caribbean tour seemed much more open-minded about not coming in and telling people what to do and having this ruler from afar and getting away from that. But yeah, I mean, I think that I would be curious if they did pop up in Australia. Would it be this recreation for the Waleses of those moments that when Diana and Charles went? Would they try to go that direction, or would they carve their own path with their own children? I also feel like when I think of Australia, New Zealand in particular, it makes me think of the Sussexes and that big royal tour. They only did a couple during their tenure as married working royals. I think that that absence always feels glaring when we talk about travel. And I wish that there was a way for Charles and Camilla and the Waleses to spread the wealth, so to speak, and have, you know, it, not just have all the pressure on them. And I think that was, again, a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Understatement.
I can kind of even picture future Charles and Camilla in Kenya and the side-by-sides of Meghan and Harry in South Africa and how it's just so starkly different. And you know, they're saying she's our sister and she just has such charisma and so does he. And Charles and Camilla, while, you know, we're royally obsessed, it's just so different. And so I don't know if it will come across the same way in 2023.
Yeah.
We'll have to stay tuned. But also, didn't Australia, there was a blow to the royals with them canceling the Commonwealth Games?
Yes. Victoria, the state of Victoria, just canceled the Commonwealth Games for 2026, saying that costs have tripled and it's just not a expense that the country can bear. It's not worth it for them. And that's a huge event that the royals attend. So they'll be moving the location, it sounds like. But yeah, I mean, I think that there's just a lot of change afoot.
There's a lot required by being a Commonwealth country. I think that that's, you know, it's a lot that they have to put forth from their end as well.
On one final note, we did get word that a national memorial for Queen Elizabeth II is in the works in London. We think about the memorials to her parents, to Queen Victoria, to the Queen Mother. What it will look like, we don't know, but there is a committee that has been selected to think about that. And you mentioned very accurately how we travel to visit the Princess Diana Memorial statue now and how meaningful that is. So for Roros, it is something that will be worth planning a trip around, I'd say.
A pilgrimage.
A pilgrimage. I'm looking forward to it.
And to the statue or whatever it is.
Yes. Paying respect.
Yeah. I do think they might use the one-year anniversary of her death to maybe unveil the design. I hope that that's what we'll see. That's my prediction.
It's time for the Royal Highs and Lows.
All right, before we adjourn, our highs and lows. I struggle picking a low. I think it's all kind of because I don't know if we just haven't seen the royals a lot. So I guess my low is just this quiet time. You know, I think that that's it. Also, the divorce rumors. The divorce rumors are just because it's a vicious cycle and outlets kind of regurgitate the same things and it's all just really sad. So
yeah. That's it. I know. I think my low is just sort of the lack of headlines about this. And I would love to kind of know, get more in the weeds from reporters on what's going on here. But just the idea that Andrew is still not vacating the Royal Lodge, right? So apparently Charles has extended his ability to stay there a little longer due to Fergie's breast cancer battle, which is very kind of the king. But I'm just like, is Andrew ever going to leave? He's apparently continuing to be adamant that he needs a very large house. We also saw headlines this week that he was actually, surprise, surprise, still in touch with Epstein beyond the dates that he said in the Emily Matlis interview. So there's just, and that was confirmed by emails that were brought up in court that Jeffrey Epstein exchanged mentioning Andrew and how he'd be seeing him on such and such date. I don't know. I think we will be hearing more about Andrew because there's a new book due out by Andrew Lowney next year about all about him, kind of that we need to dig in more on this front. But it's just anytime Andrew's in the news, I'm just kind of like, why are we not tackling this more and understanding what's going on?
Yeah, digging into that more. My high this week is, well, one, that I get to see you tomorrow.
Yay! But also, we didn't even talk about that.
I know, IRL date, dinner date
at refreshments.
My favorite restaurant in New York City. I'm so, so excited. But also that I'll be seeing you in early September when we go to Sotheby's to see the Diana Sheep sweater in person in New York. It's going to be on display before that massive auction that we've talked about a lot on the show. I cannot wait.
I'm so excited.
We're going to document everything.
Do we wear our Diana sweater to that? No, right? That's too much.
Is it too confusing? They're going to be like, they're walking out with this one.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to be more subtle.
I could wear a green one. It's going to be too hot. It's going to be too hot.
Yeah. It'll September be like 7th, very warm.
New York City. Cannot wait. We have it on the books.
I'm so excited. All right. My high is James Middleton, who I feel like is your number one love, but I could not get over this clip. He talked about Kate on Good Morning Britain. I'm going to play that for you here. He was asked a question about his sister, the future queen.
But you must be very proud.
She's my sister and I see her as my sister.
Therefore, you probably aren't too proud.
No, and I'm extremely, proud. And I think, you know, I'm very, you know, I'm always taken aback by how much she does do. And, and that does, you know, always continue to sit at the forefront of my mind about how, but actually, to be honest, she's my sister. So I know all of her sort of, you know, quirks and everything. And actually to see her blossoming in that role, I think is really, really, I'm very proud of her.
Oh, I just love James. I feel like it's so cute. And I love that he kind of spoke directly on this.
What are her quirks?
That's what I want to know.
So curious.
I want to know what her quirks are. And that's why I want you to click this link as a final thing before we depart. Just because, did you see this Wimbledon moment where Kate meets James Norton, the actor, and William's face? She's like so starstruck and gleeful. Everyone check it out on Hello Magazine. They have it. Or Hello.com.
William's face is hilarious.
He's like is talking to Rachel Weisz and totally is distracted by Kate's glee at meeting this super dashing actor. I love this.
So dashing.
Is that one of her quirks?
That she's starstruck like all of us. Yes. Definitely. Most definitely is.
But I love James.
Oh, gosh. Can't get enough of him. Just a reminder before we close, please leave us a royal review with 5 stars. This one is so lovely from LES14. It says, new favorite podcast. I've always held a fascination with British royalty throughout history and have been casually interested in the modern royal family. This podcast is so much fun to listen to. It feels like I'm sitting with girlfriends over coffee, gossiping about Kate Middleton, and is informative on some things without being dense. I look forward to new episodes every Thursday. Thank you so
That's
much.
That's so nice. And here you go, a new episode. We're so excited.
Yes, and please leave us more reviews like this. We love reading them. It definitely makes our day. You can send us an email to info@gallerypodcast.com. Tell us where you were when you saw Diana and Charles tie the knot or what memories you have of that day. Please follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast. And till next week,
God save the pod.
Her Majesties of Royally Obsessed have retired for this episode. God save the pod. And if you fancy the podcast, give Royally Obsessed the royal rating of 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast and join our Facebook group, Royally Obsessed. Royally Obsessed is a Gallery Podcast production.